Good morning, church. Let me stop and just say a quick hello. I know we have a ton of people traveling on either end of the Thanksgiving weekend. For those of you who are traveling, watching somewhere else, we love you. We miss you. Get back safe for next week, because next week is our At the Movie series. And like Melanie said, we will not be live. So I encourage you, even if you're the people you're inviting, meet them maybe 5-10 minutes early and get here, because those services tend to be extremely full, and we will do our best to make room for everybody. In years past, they have been full. I need to add one quick announcement that we didn't add to the Melanie's announcements, and that is on Friday morning, if you're a part of that men's, the breakfast that's on Friday mornings, the day after Thanksgiving, that will not be happening, and you should get a phone call about that. But on At the Movies, let me just give you a pastoral encouragement. That sounds fun, right? Two things. Invite people and bring them. And then two, if you have kids from 0 to 5th grade, next week, let me encourage you, we have a wonderful children's facility.
Amen.
Y'all getting what I'm throwing down? Next week's movie is a little intense, and so I felt like I owe you as parents what I would want. There's nothing bad. It's obviously we show it and we'll have it's appropriate for a church service, but it is a little intense. So if you've got 0 to 5th graders, we have an incredible children's church and nursery over there. They'll have popcorn and some stuff over there for them. So just drop them off, come in, get you some popcorn and Coke and coffee and enjoy next week. But just be sure that also, I just want to add my 2 cents into our Christmas Eve service, and I felt like I at least needed to kind of share our heart. That's going to be our service for that weekend, and so it's always a special time for you to bring your families. That's just to come, like Melanie said, and remember why we do Christmas, what it's about. But the other side of that is, do you know it takes about 20 to 25 people every week on our dream team scattered across our property to make that happen, to make a service like this morning happen. And not only do we want you to spend time with your family, but my heart is I just felt like we needed to give our dream team a day off where nobody's having to worry about anything. You can wake up in the morning, enjoy your the day after Christmas with your family. And it's just a way for me as a leader to say thank you to all of you who serve. You'll hear a lot more about it. We'll keep reminding you. But that Sunday, the 26th, we won't have service, and we're just going to enjoy a family day. You know, honestly, as your pastor, let me just be honest, I need it, you know? I think Melanie and I need to wake up and look at each other in the morning and go, we got nowhere to go, nowhere to be, make some coffee, make some cinnamon rolls, and let's just sit here, and if we don't want to get up, I'm not getting up. That's healthy, the way my job is, that doesn't happen a whole lot. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to be able to bless all of you that you can just spend some time with your family. We're going to jump into part two of this two-part series like leading up to Thanksgiving and our At the Movie series next week. And let me just give you a reminder, if you're watching online or those of you in the room, I'm going to talk a lot about a term called doctrine. And doctrine is just a basic belief, a basic thing of what we believe. We talked about last week that our lives are just like a painting. And in painting, which I'm not an artist, nor do I even claim to know anything about art, but my understanding is that somebody who knows art can look at a piece of painting and go, well, that's a Picasso, that's a Rembrandt, that's a, you know, all these long French names that nobody can pronounce. But they can tell simply by the brushstroke and the way they use light and their paints and whatever medium they're using. Well, God does the same thing with us. I'm convinced that we can look at the canvas of our life and see something in our life and go, that's God. I see God painting this part of my life. Now, this part looks like me. It's not so hot. And so we talked about last week that God just doesn't want you to get better. This whole thing of salvation is not just you improving. The whole word that really embodies the gospel is change, transform. God wants you to be different. He wants to change you, not just improve you. He doesn't bondo your dents. He makes you brand new right off the showroom floor. And we can see this work of God's in our life. This is our scripture we're basing all this on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are God's masterpiece, and he's created us new, not remodeled, not version 2.0. You're not even that. You are who God created you to be when you receive salvation, when Jesus is your Lord. The Bible says that you're new. See, the problem is that there's more to that. See, the difference in Christianity than all other religions is two things. I said this last week. Other religions want you to conform. God wants to transform. And then all other religions, they just kind of tell you you got to do something, but then they give you no way to do it other than rote memory or in and of yourself. You see, part of the doctrine of Christianity that we forget, and honestly, a lot of Christians, now let me preface this. If you were raised in church where the word power was never used in a real tangible sense, please just relax. For those of you who are maybe raised in a Pentecostal charismatic church and somebody says power and you want to do a glory lap, just take a deep breath. And I want that because I want us all to listen this morning. I'm going to be a lot more teachy. I'm going to give you a lot more scripture this morning. So if you want them to save them, you can go on the YouVersion and get the live notes. They're all there. They'll be posted on the live stream as well. You see, the problem is people get scared when we talk about power in church. Because people start going, uh-oh, here he goes. He's going to need to talk about the Holy Spirit, tongues, and then people are going to start acting crazy. And then people are going to have uncontrollable fits of whatever it is that they haven't. See, the problem is we think that because of what we've seen on TV, maybe at a church service, or what we've seen in a church service where things are out of order and out of control. I've said this before. If you go back a few series, we talked about the Holy Spirit that's in us. And a lot of times we blame the Holy Spirit for people's craziness and people's weirdness. But let me tell you this. They were weird before they met Jesus. They had that way of thinking and way of acting before they met Jesus. So we don't attribute that necessarily to God. But see, the power and the reason it's important is it's what allows us to change. It's God's brushstroke in our lives that lets us change. The Bible says, look at this, is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, and when he called his disciples, the 12 of them, he gave them power. And then we get hung up in these next few words. Over unclean spirits to cast them out, and then I highlighted it for you, then also to heal. There is a real spiritual world out there that we can't see. And there is a real devil, and all of that is real. We don't have to worry about it because the Bible says we've got victory over it and the devil's been defeated. But you still need to know this, that the very thing Jesus gave to them, he gave to us. To be able to take those things that are not of God out of our lives, help other people do that, and then begin to heal dis-ease, to take things that are not right, things that are uneasy out of people's lives, whether it be mentally, physically, spiritually, in sickness and disease. You see, the problem is, again, we get scared about that. But I want you to see what Jesus said. Now tell me if you think this would be important. I'm about to show you the scripture. Don't do it yet. This is the scripture, the last thing Jesus said while he was on this earth. After he went to the cross, he came back, and then he went around the earth, which was popping through doors and walking through walls and kind of freaking people out. And then the Bible says he ascended to be with the Father, which is where he is right now until he comes back for us. And the Bible says the last thing, the very last thing that Jesus told people on the earth before he ascended to heaven was this. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, a witness, go back to that previous verse. A witness is essentially for us a reflection. We're going to reflect Jesus, reflect his life to people, so that when they look at us, they see him. And then it goes on, it says, and you're going to actually do something. You're going to tell people about me everywhere. And then it lists these are basically a region, a city, a country, and a state and a country. So it's the same thing for us. We're going to tell people, and we're going to reflect that in power to Scriven County, to Sylvania, to Georgia, to the United States, to Honduras.